This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Winter storm warnings and advisories are in effect from Washington State to central Iowa. The power is out at Lisa Gilbert's Billings, Montana restaurant.
I was very emotional. We were very hopeful that we could be open and make a little extra money. Very devastating. I need people to keep my dream alive.
A power line that fell on a car has killed three people and injured a baby in Portland, Oregon, where CBS's Carter Evans reports.
When you get this much ice weighing things down, it does that to trees and power lines. Then, of course, you have trees falling, power lines coming down. Power outages have been a big issue in this state. There are still 77,000 customers throughout the state without power right now.
Portions of Tennessee up to New York have been dealing with snow and ice. U.S. Central Command says in ongoing multinational efforts to protect freedom of navigation and prevent attacks on U.S. and other shipping in the Red Sea, it has again conducted strikes in Yemen, this time on 14 Houthi missiles that were loaded to be fired in Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. A judge threatened to throw former President Trump out of a Manhattan courtroom at his defamation trial after repeatedly ignoring warnings to keep quiet. CBS's Errol Barnett at the White House.
E. Jean Carroll's lawyer complained that Donald Trump is making audible reactions that her team can hear, and she fears that the jury can hear it as well. At one point, Donald Trump saying, oh, she's got her memory back, when E. Jean Carroll was recounting the sexual assault.
That's Errol Barnett at the courthouse. Medicine for hostages and Palestinians has arrived in Gaza, and CBS's Robert Berger points out.
This is the first time medicine has been sent to the Israeli hostages since they were captured by Hamas more than 3 months ago. The deal was brokered by Qatar and France, but talks on a broader deal for the release of the hostages remain at an impasse.
A new review finds widespread disparities in pediatric care for minority children in the U.S.
The study, published in the Lancet Child and Adolescent Health Journal, found minority children were not receiving the same care as white kids.
In most specialties, there were disparities at every single level.
Study author Dr. Nia Hurd-Garris says some of the biggest gaps in treatment were in hospital ERs, where there are certain protocols that should always be followed.
So children, for example, that have stomach bugs, those that are Black and Latinx, are less likely to have IV fluids for dehydration.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
The cost to overdraw a bank account could drop to as little as $3 under a White House proposal. The change could potentially eliminate billions of dollars in fee revenue for the nation's biggest banks, which have been gearing up for a battle. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Get your tickets now for MJ the...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans appear to have hit an impasse over legalizing medical marijuana. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says creating state-run dispensaries is a non-starter. Assembly Speaker Robin Foss says he won't compromise to address Senate Republicans' concerns. Foss says the bill is the result of months of talks. Governor Evers says Republican senators were wrong to fire Public Service Commissioner Tyler Huebner. Senator Brad Paff was himself fired as acting Agriculture Secretary. He says Republicans are playing politics with the governor's appointments.
This rigid partisan ideology accomplishes nothing for the people of this state. And quite frankly, it just demonstrates to them that the government is broken and it does not work.
Republicans point out they've confirmed more than 480 of Evers' appointees. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers lose in an upset. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had not lost to a Big Ten opponent until they faced Penn State and Kane Clary.
Shot clock down to 10, game clock at 44. Clary drives by wall, pulls, pops, good off the glass. He has been spectacular. Penn State up 6, 34 seconds to play.
Matt LePay with the call. Clary finished with 29 points on the way to an 87-83 win for Penn State over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously the turnovers. I thought early, right from the start, we just got a little frenzied, and that gave them confidence as they were able to jump out to that lead that we could never quite get back where we felt we could get in control of it.
The Badgers host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers will be without backup outside linebacker Kingsley Enagbare after he suffered a knee injury against the Cowboys. Rookie Lucas Van Ness will have to step up as a pass rusher against the 49ers this Saturday night.
I think the more he plays, the better he gets.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 3 below zero. On Thursday, partly sunny, a high near 12. Some snow showers Thursday night, again a low around 0 degrees. For Friday, mostly cloudy, 12 above. 13 and sunshine for Saturday, 16 Sunday, and low 30s by Monday. Right now, 6 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Nation and exterior contractor in the metro area.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Become a teacher and ignite change. Join the St. Paul Urban Residency Program to become a teacher in just 15 months. You can earn your master's degree and teaching license from the University of St. Thomas while earning a $30,000 stipend, single health care, and dental benefits. As an added bonus, next year's cohort, all residents will receive $20,000 towards their tuition. Apply now. Applications due February 28, 2024. Visit spps.org/sutr. Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low of 2 below, Thursday partly cloudy with a high near 7, and Friday cloudy with a high around 5. At Crooner's Supper Club, the entertainment doesn't stop when the show ends. Head over to Maggie's Lounge for some post-show drinks and great conversation. You'll love the relaxed and friendly atmosphere. That's Maggie's Lounge at Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65. More at croonersloungemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society Press.
Right on. Hey, where are we? I always like asking you questions like, what time of month is this and where are we? Where are we right now?
Well, today we are here live at All My Relations Arts Gallery, 1414 East Franklin Avenue here in Minneapolis along the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
So you set all the equipment up here and now you're like hosting the show. You're doing everything now. Next, you'll be running the store here because there'll be books for sale. And why are we here?
Well, we're here for the book reading and the book release of Kathy Coates' new published book, To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota.
Yeah, and we're excited. We have her here, too. And I think it was fun to get this going and live here and tell everyone to come on out and check out the reading. And we have Kathy again. We made Kathy come on again.
We did. Yeah. She is here live in the flesh today.
How's it going, Kathy?
Good. How are you?
Here, get that mic close to you. You can even hold it if you want like this, like a rock star, if you're singing karaoke. Let's see how that works.
Good idea. All right. Sounds good. Is that better?
Oh, that's much better.
Sounds great.
Jeez. All right. Hey, so we didn't need those mic stands that I got, Haley.
I guess not. Sometimes you think you need it, and then maybe less is better. But.
Oh, no. More is better when it comes to live shoots. But, Kathy, we're really excited. We already have a citizen of Ho-Chunk here with us today and an elder, and she's excited to be here. And, she's waving and shaking her hand. You guys see Rosetta in the back. I won't use your last name so people won't sue you, Rosetta Hunt. But good to see you. And we got chairs up here, and we're ready to rock and roll. Amy's going to be coming off the airplane soon. Are you excited? You don't look nervous. You sound pretty good.
No, I was probably nervous until I was on TV last weekend, and I've been on this show a couple times now, and looks like Amy's coming in right now.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, that's good play-by-play on that, and we'll get her probably after the next commercial, but hey, we're really excited to have you on, and we are excited for people to come here, and I think there's going to be a lot more people than chairs, so get here early. There'll be food at 5:30, and we're going to be going... Haley, we're going to be going not live at 5:30. We're going to have our president of Ho-Chunk Nation, who used to do a lot of spots for us of history of Ho-Chunk and Native Roots Radio, and you picked one out.
I did, yeah. So John Greendeer is going to be joining us for segment three today.
He just doesn't know it.
He doesn't know it. This is an encore segment from John, and we appreciate it. John talks a lot about Ho-Chunk history in this segment and then also speaks quite a bit of Ho-Chunk, which I always love to hear.
Definitely. So. Yeah, and with my other job, as you guys know, I don't really talk about my other job, but it's always good to hear our president open up our legislative meeting with a good prayer and with the Ho-Chunk language. And so are you excited?
Yeah, I'm real excited. The book came out yesterday. I'm ready to make some sales
and
a reading and get it out in more people's hands.
Exactly, and I'm excited. Rosetta, give me a thumbs up. Are you excited? Yep. You don't have. Well, you're gonna have to grab that mic if you want to say anything, Rosetta. Oh, she doesn't want to say anything.
Well, we should introduce our Ho-Chunk name since it's a Ho-Chunk show today.
Oh yeah, my name is Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder.
Yes, and I'm Chashepeyungewe Nink, which means little eagle princess.
Oh, little eagle princess. Do you get an adult name, or are you always going to be little eagle? How's that go, Rosetta?
Yeah, I don't know, Rosetta.
Does she keep that forever?
I keep that forever. I kind of like my name.
I do too. Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time.
We're Eagle Clan, so I like the Chashep in there too.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, I don't know how I got Thunder in my name because I'm not in the Thunder Clan, but I like my name.
Well, my brother, Ryan.
Oh, that's right.
His name is similar to yours. I know it's, his is King of Thunder, Wakanja, Hook, Wakanja.
Yeah. So. And Dandy, who's in the book, is, do you know how to pronounce his name? I don't have it open right now, but it is a Thunder. I'll look real quick, but I was going, that was cool.
Yeah, well, I know Great Grandma's name too. I just found this out, is a Blue Sky Woman, and I'm thinking
Roaring Thunder. Yep,
Roaring Thunder.
Roaring Thunder. Okay, yep. But yeah, I Blue Sky Woman. I'm trying to now.
And Walking Jari is Dandy's, and Dandy is a character in the Ho-Chunk history because of all those times that he was being removed from Wisconsin, and then 2 weeks later, he's back, and you told that great story about him pretending to be sick.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, he's sick. And then he bolted for the door out of the fort and ran past
him. Such a rebel.
And the reason why he was named Dandy is because the way he dressed really well.
Oh.
Wore fanciful dress, they said.
Lots of colors and stuff.
Yes, lots of colors. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Well, cool. Did we just run out of things to say?
No, I'm just excited to hear from the book. I know we got a minute left until we got to take a break here, but I'm excited to hear more about the book. And crazy, I had some wild dreams last night after talking to you, Kathy, on the show yesterday.
Oh.
And I think we need to get down to Mankato and do some bare feet walking. And
well, not only that, we need to get our protest signs out.
Well.
Kathy's not saying anything, but she's shaking her head yes. So I'll just say
Kathy will be there with
us. We need to get to Mankato, definitely.
Exactly. Well, hey, we're here at All My Relations Art Gallery here on Franklin Avenue. And come on down. We're going to have the reading real soon. There's going to be food delivered here at 6 o'clock or at 5:30.
Yeah, from Powwow Grounds.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I've been eating all day, so that'll fit right into my criteria. But I'm glad to be here, glad Kathy's here, glad Rosetta's here, and always glad that Haley's here. As you guys witnessed, Haley put everything together, so we got to give her a big shout-out.
Pina Gigi, thank you.
Yes. All right, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts Gallery on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, this ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no powwow. This is a book reading tonight. And one of the stars of the show has just joined us here. And Amy, do you mind grabbing that mic like it's karaoke and we're going to be singing with you? Because there you go. Hey, there welcome. We go. So good Thank to you. See you.
Thank you. I just arrived from Santa Cruz, California.
Right
wow,
on.
Welcome.
Right on. And
thank you.
You know, Kathy, the author here, was on TPT. You saw that. And she got some time to spend with her. And she's just had nothing but great things to say about you. And I want to say a big peeny geegee because a lot of this correct stuff that Kathy's doing is because of you, and you're vetting out the book. And so that's really important. And it's important for me so we can really promote the book in a good way.
Yeah, Hinagiki. It's a wonderful book. I was reading it closely again over the last couple of days, and I just can't wait to talk about it. It's been a long time coming. I mean, yeah. In terms of us exploring and thinking through Ho-Chunk history in Minnesota. And I've been thinking, you know, as I was driving over here, why has it taken us so long to have a book-length study like
right.
this?
Yeah.
So we're incredibly indebted to Kathy for yeah. her brilliant scholarship.
Yeah.
And there have been so many conversations, right, around the cities in the state of Minnesota. Oh, Ho-Chunk have a connection to Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
But it was always left in a kind of general way. Mm-hmm. And Kathy here is helping us move forward with some really important specifics on our history in Minnesota.
You know, and I really like what you had to say. And I think at one of our area meetings, one of the things that really hit me that you said when you joined us from California was that Kathy's a researcher. This is real research. This is not an opinion book. This is done on research. And that's what excites me, too, because I have my opinion as a Ho-Chunk, but I haven't done the research.
Mm-hmm. It's really well researched, and yeah. I'm a historian. Mm-hmm. And what I was really struck by as I was reading it again closely, because I read it in manuscript format before it was published, but to have the hard copy was really exciting. And I was just struck by its readability. I mean, I was seeing it as, you know, in classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. As part of book of the month club type of things. I okay. mean, it's a highly readable book. So it's just got a wonderful balance, as I said, of rigorous historical research, mm-hmm. but yet highly, highly engaging and readable.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to have the I want to say ceremony, but we're going to have the book reading and you speaking, and maybe Bill Quackenbush is going to be down here, and we can have him. Oh, I just saw Bill. Oh, that's mm-hmm. excellent. So we want to get Bill on, and I'll be kind of the master ceremonies of that, because I just really, for me, I want to thank you, thank Bill, thank Kathy for this and for the opportunity to, you know, work on this in Minnesota, too, because I've always said people under 40 years old really don't realize and recognize Ho-Chunks here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It just erasure is what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think.
Oh, did you want to say something, Kat? Oh, okay. We just made your mic hot. Go ahead.
Thanks to Amy for her kind words, and thank you to all three of you, you and Bill and Amy, for helping me when it was in manuscript form, and for being here today. It means the world to me. So.
Oh, well, it means a lot to us.
Yes, it definitely means a lot to us. And one of the things that I want to talk about, too, is some of the early conversations and efforts to recognize Ho-Chunk history in Minnesota. The Minnesota Historical Society back in 1993 worked on a Minnesota Communities exhibit, and I've been going through my files over the last week and refreshing my memory, you know, and they were looking at six communities from across Minnesota. It was part of a major exhibition at the Minnesota Historical Society in 1993. And they selected the Ho-Chunks, mm-hmm. not the Ojibwe or Dakota, but right. they selected the Ho-Chunks. And Celeste Persini was the lead curator. And she said that, you know, they recognize that Ho-Chunks in Minnesota have been overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they really wanted to talk about and present Ho-Chunk Nation history in the mid, you know, especially, of course, focusing on those years when we have the reservations in Minnesota in the mid 20th century, but also, of course, on Ho-Chunk resilience and survivance in the contemporary community today. So there were some really wonderful community leaders that worked on that mm-hmm. who have since walked on,
yeah.
you know, Donald Blackhawk Sr., Betty Green Crow.
Wow.
So Betty. I had an opportunity to work with them, and that was really special. And the McKees, and they were wonderful too, you know.
That's
so
us.
That's our relatives. That's our family.
Right on.
So it was just beautiful working with all of them and really beginning this process of reclaiming Ho-Chunk history in Minnesota.
That's exciting. And, Amy's a great guest.
Amy, yeah, we got to get you on.
We might have to go another segment with Amy here. But one of the things, too, and I don't know if it's yellow Volkswagen syndrome, But since Kathy's been working on this, and then I've been kind of pushing some stuff legislative-wise in the background, the University of Minnesota has added Ho-Chunk to their land acknowledgement. Land acknowledgement is another thing, but that's right. something big. Mm-hmm. But also the Minnesota Historical Society. So I don't know if it's been the work or if I'm just noticing it now or being aware of it, but or if it's a combination.
Mm-hmm. That's why Kathy's book is so important, right? I mean, this is really challenging that history of Minnesota and the indigenous nations of Minnesota, kind of the master narrative of Minnesota history. So
that's really right. That is the entire purpose of this book, is to start justice work for Ho-Chunk people and recognition work for them in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, in one of the key words that I heard brought up, I think by you and then also in the book by Kathy, is erasure. And that's one of the things that I'll be driving home when I speak to people about a recognition of Ho-Chunk in Minnesota, is we don't want to be erased. And that's a colonized way. So, you know, also, too, one of the things that really in the book for me really hit home, and we mentioned a little bit with Kathy about this earlier, is that, geez, Mankato has some, some things that they should be giving back, possibly.
Right.
I could just say that in code.
Right. Land back.
Okay.
They own millions and millions of public land of acres. So they definitely stole land from the Ho-Chunk people in 1863. So land back is relevant to Ho-Chunk people in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's we'll get a Chipotle down there and just have Haley do the radio show down there.
Yeah, we'll move our studio down there.
Get our big antenna on there.
Yeah.
And if I could add something quickly about when I was reviewing Kathy's book, one of the suggestions that I made, because we know that, you know, Ho-Chunk, we're indigenous to present-day Wisconsin. We originated near Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But the land, Blue Earth, I really wanted to see, and Kathy did this, but to really emphasize that this was originally Dakota land, right? And they had been forced to the treaty table and forced to cede this land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when I'm thinking through that deep history and the commemoration of the U.S. Dakota War of 1862, I have found that the Dakota community, certainly when I participated in the Dakota Commemorative March in 2004 and 2006, they were incredibly interested in Ho-Chunk Nation history. They would introduce me to other people in the room and say, this is, you know, Amy Lontree, she's Ho-Chunk, and her people were removed too. And so I felt this incredible groundswell of support and interest that they were hungry to hear our story as well.
And removed so close to them, you know, as neighbors and almost on the same land. And our language is, you know, similar in that way, too, to the Dakotas.
Yeah, it's Siouan, but I think it's more Ho-Chunk, and they got the language from us. Is that right? No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Well, one of the translations of our name is people of the parent speech. And that's the recognition that we were a nod to that we were the original Siouan speakers.
Yeah.
Now, some people have made that claim. Yes.
Oh. Well, I wonder, should we call it a show, because we were going to go halfway the show, or if you have a few, I know there's a lot of people coming in here that you want to see too. So maybe we can end the show at the normal time that we were going to only do half a show here and tell everyone to come out here. But it's really exciting to have you on, Amy. And it's going to be an exciting night, and the place is getting full.
So, I could relay one more story really quickly, Robert, about Ho-Chunk presence in Minnesota. We can talk about an erasure, but there have been moments, as I was thinking this through over the last several weeks, where people I remembered acknowledged our deep connection. And case in point is the University of Minnesota and the development of the American Indian Studies Department. I heard from a Dakota elder that they actually approached the Ho-Chunk Nation and asked them to if it would be all right, or if they would like to offer Ho-Chunk language courses to undergraduates at the University of Minnesota. And as we know, Dakota and Ojibwe are taught at the University of Minnesota and have historically been taught there. But I think that that's a really interesting story. We made a decision, you know, elders made a decision not to do that for a host of reasons. But I think it's really important because that speaks to the acknowledgement of the Ho-Chunk having a deep and longstanding connection to Minnesota and other nations recognizing that at various moments in time.
Amy, it's so good to have you. I'm so happy that you made it here. It's going to be a great night. The place is packed. A lot of relatives and a lot of people you know are here. And
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Correspondent Carter Evans with reasons those in the Pacific Northwest might want to stay inside.
Strong winds gusting to 45 miles per hour, combined with up to a quarter inch of ice, weighing down trees and power lines that have knocked out electricity all across western Oregon.
There have been at least 46 weather-related deaths across the country. Hours after Houthi rebels attacked a U.S.-owned ship in the Gulf of Aden with a bomb-carrying drone, the U.S. responded in Yemen, CBS's David Martin.
A U.S. official says the strikes targeted Houthi launch sites in an attempt to preempt further attacks against commercial shipping.
A Maine judge allows former President Trump's name to remain on the primary ballot while the U.S. Supreme Court considers a similar case in Colorado. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Why don't you just wait until the Supreme Court rules and then reassess your decision based on that ruling, since Maine and Colorado are the only two states that have taken this action?
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is one step closer to letting gas stations and other businesses build their own electric vehicle chargers. A bill that passed the state Senate Tuesday would change Wisconsin regulations to allow it. The Senate also approved a nearly $80 million federal grant to cover most of the cost of building new EV chargers. About 15% of Wisconsin's children are obese. State lawmakers are introducing five bills to help kids slim down. One of them would require 180 minutes of physical activity in schools through eighth grade.
Our schools are already required to do Phi-Ed, but instead of focusing sheerly on the academic section, perhaps on what is tennis, we're going to actually get our kids playing tennis and moving as much as possible.
Representative William Penterman is a member of the Speaker's Childhood Obesity Task Force. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight with light west winds at our lows approaching 5 below zero. On Thursday, we'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine, high temperatures in the lower teens, light north winds. Thursday night, a mostly cloudy sky, lows near the zero mark. It's 6 at our studios.
Get your tickets now for MJ the Illusion. It's not just a Michael Jackson tribute show. It's a true King of Pop concert experience featuring live vocals by Michael Knight, along with his team of world-class dancers. From the lights, costumes, music, and choreography, this show is a must-see for any fans of Michael Jackson. One night only, Thursday, January 25th, 7:30 p.m. in Wisconsin Rapids. Learn more at savorthearts.com. Let us entertain you.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
That's a factual statement, and the main reason why I'll always own one for the rest of my life. Some places will talk about auto safety, but I'm a living example of why you and your family can trust a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Go test drive one today and try the hybrids. They're fantastic. Rudy Luther Toyota on 394 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low of 2 below, Thursday partly cloudy with a high near 7, and Friday cloudy with a high around 5.
Create unforgettable meals that are sure to impress with vinaigrette. From extra virgin olive oils to balsamic vinegars, fused extra virgin olive oils to white balsamic vinegars and wine vinegars, vinaigrette has it all. Independently owned since 2009, find vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Producer Haley with you now. I just want to say a big thank you, Pinagigi Miigwech Wolpe Latanka, to everyone who is tuning in to today's special broadcast regarding the published recognition of us Ho-Chunk people in the state of Minnesota. And a big thank you again to our sponsor, NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, and All My Relations Arts, as well as the Minnesota Historical Society and Kathy Coates for sharing our history and opening up a space for our story here today. But there is still time to come over to All My Relations Art Gallery here at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. We'll be here until 7. Right now, though, in this segment, we want to stick with a Ho-Chunk citizen, someone who is very important to Ho-Chunk Nation. His name is John Greendeer, and this is actually an encore segment, and John talks a bit about our Ho-Chunk history as well. So here it is.
Jigay, Hana, Chini, Kadagi, we know. My name is John Greendeer. I am once again excited to send each of you a warm greeting. Also excited to be on the radio. This is kind of cool. So a lot of people don't know this. I'm actually a licensed ham radio operator. Yep, let that sink in. KD9ETK is my call. But it has nothing to do with me being on the radio. So it's actually quite useless information. So I... thought it was kind of cool, but it'll get more relevant from here, I promise. Today we get to talk about something a little bit more in my wheelhouse. I am the Executive Director of Heritage Preservation for the Ho-Chunk Nation, which is a pretty expansive title, but if you look at what it covers, that's even more broad. I always ask folks, you know, what do you think of when you hear heritage preservation? And, you know, some folks, the response is, powwows, drums, songs, music, feathers, regalia, you know, dances. Others, you know, might be more on the naturalist side of the spectrum and say, well, all the things that predate, you know, pre-colonial contact, you know, and our rivers, our land, our mountains, our, you know, forests, vegetation, animals, all these things that, you know, those are the things we need to preserve, you know. Others, you know, look at it from a more scholarly point of view in terms of the historical context or political, you know, and it's about sovereignty. It's about your legal disposition as a nation. It's what you can do to self-govern. So what is it? It's all of those and more. And even nowadays, preservation really is synonymous with everything that falls under, quote, culture. So we have a lot of things that that we do oversee. Now, as a preservationist, those are very distinct. Culture being something that you can't really kill or anything like that. It's a part of your daily life. How you brush your teeth, when you go to school, who gets the TV first, all that stuff is a part of your culture. Your home has one, your work has one, your school, your church. But more importantly, you know, we look at preserving our heritage. And these are things that probably weren't intended to change, like, you know, your songs, your stories, you know, your fundamental beliefs, principles, family, clan, colors, those types of things. And so those are kind of more in the area. And while it does seem like they do overlap, because they do, we do try to be more distinctive to focus on some of those elements that might be in danger of being lost. So when I started as the executive director for heritage preservation, I thought like I was going to be like zapped down, you know, with a bag over my head, and I'm going to go down 7 flights into this, you know, dark, eerie area where we had this big, giant, massive storage unit of all of our songs and stories and everything that defined us historically. And, you know, it was not a scene out of the X-Files by any means. We don't have all that stuff. Yes, there are recordings. Yes, there are photographs. Yes, there are. But there certainly isn't a place where you can just walk into it and, you know, plug in your USB and just fill your whole world up with history and knowledge. We are remnants of an oral tradition of a vastly, substantive oral tradition of songs and stories and things that identify you as a family. And, you know, I'd mentioned before in a previous show that, you know, a lot of these things were severed, not, you know, just simply by boarding schools, but, you know, a lot of, you know, forces in westernization that have really changed our daily culture. You know, today we can't say we are, you know, living the life of those of us and our people in the past. You know, we're too busy working two jobs just to be broke and, you know, getting our kids off to school so we can be conveniently late for work and probably unwrapping more meals than we should be, you know. So there are, there's just, you know, certain things that lifestyles that we have now that, you know, probably don't synchronize with, you know, the people that we came from who really built their life or their way of life, which Ho-Chunks will call Woshka, around simplicity, you know, food, water, shelter, things that we kind of take for granted nowadays. But if we were ever forced to go back to that, there's probably a good chance we'd have a bit of a struggle. Yes, we could eat deer if you can get one, or catch fish if you can catch one, or make nets or make hooks. You know, we didn't have necessarily the obligation to learn survival skills. You know, that's what they would be for us today, but to them it was just simply living. So I don't know how long it would take us to learn today, but, you know, back then that way of life wasn't something you learned in a weekday or, you know, years, or even a lifetime. It took many lifetimes. You know, we go back, you know, thousands and thousands of years, and, you know, our oral tradition has us, you know, placed back into the red banks of the Green Bay, but, you know, we don't really know when that was. You know, we can certainly, you know, use science to determine, you know, when, you know, the human existence took place into this area, but we can't really verify, lean too heavily on archaeology or belief system. We just have to accept the fact that we don't know. And if we were meant to know, we would. But I can say that, you know, when we start going back to, you know, our history, and, you know, I hate to surprise everyone, but history doesn't start when a white guy sets foot on a piece of earth. You know, a lot of times we do that when we say, we're going to talk about history. Well, it's going to be George Washington or Ben Franklin or Christopher Columbus. And, you know, no, history starts, you know, way before that, you know, before we can even think of. And so, you know, we discipline ourselves to make sure that, you know, we don't think in that Western manner. This is how and who we are. So, to give you a scale of that, you know, one of the exercises that, you know, we'll provide in making sure people understand the heritage of and where we are, we pull this 50-foot rope out and have the children kind of hold that as far out as they can. And that rope, in this context, only represents 14,000 years, you know, where we're dated back to, at least, you know, on the science end of things. But we introduce, you know, things like, you know, the projectile points and some of the stone tools all the way, you know, these are the historic areas where they, you know, prehistoric areas where they didn't have, you know, recording devices or written languages, those types of things. And people will actually get a chance to see the scale of this because, you know, every foot of that rope represents about approximately 280 years. Which means that, you know, if you went 2 feet, you've already passed the arrival of Columbus to the Americas, you know. And so you have to think back from those 48 feet. Oh, my God, there was a lot of time between then and now. We are not the first. We're not fresh off the boat here. We've been here for such a long time, and the reason why we have made it to this day is because of those elements of our heritage. So making sure that those things are passed down to our folks is probably our biggest mission, to make sure that there's a connection there. And there is. And that's the amazing thing about it is, you know, these things that you know, we credit our ancestors to, we have we have those things. We never lost them. We may not have to engage those, but there are certain things that, you know, we do in heritage preservation and cultural resources and language that really show that that connection is there and it's as strong as it's ever been before. So whenever we learn how to say our name and our language and use it, whenever we learn how to craft an item that has some utility and we see people using it, it's there. So, you know, I don't, you know, it doesn't take long for people to realize. I get really amped up on things like this, but you know, this connection that we have, you know, they can't take that away from us. That's who we are. We are these people that, you know, that they try to separate us from. So, you know, heritage preservation is really about making sure that we have a strong connection and a strong identity with who we are, because that really is what determines our success in the modern Western world. And it's what determined our success in the prehistoric times as well. So heritage preservation does include a lot. And, you know, I'm always discouraged because, you know, I don't know the things that people come to ask me, or, you know, the people I work with, they say the same thing. We don't know everything. We'd like to be able to help. But, you know, one of the things that they talk about, you know, in our way of life, and I hope I don't butcher this too much, but, you know, when they say that ho changa woshka ke ineki ya oncha ki kara chegi hi ain chakshinai, you know, we're not doing this alone. That's, you know, we don't have this all by ourselves. It's with our group, our family, our clan, that we can all do this. And, you know, this is knowledge that, you know, I think is really important, that no one person knows all of this, but we all know a little bit. And when we come together, that's how we come to know everything. You know, we can't do it all ourselves, but if everyone does a little bit, then it can get done. And so, you know, these are things that really, you know, lean on heavily, and making sure that the circle, the group is wider, and there's more people in there rather than just a small number of people that are, you know, carrying that burden and trying to carry this on, because that's never going to work. So so it really is about being together. It's really about working together, sharing together. And, you know, the best way to do it is to look at our brothers and sisters as, you know, what they are. They're our family. And so together, that's what defines who we are. And that's going to define what the success of heritage preservation is. So again, I want to thank everyone for allowing me to share just, you know, a 10,000 foot view of what heritage preservation is, and let you know that no matter what we're asked, we may not have an answer, but the minute, you know, we're done talking, we're thinking of how to find that answer for each of you. So again, thank you.
We got to take a quick break, but stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? That was my lone howl today. Anyways, I want to quickly introduce Wendy Pilot. Wendy is a humane policy advocate leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and she is updating us all the way from New York today. So thank you so much, Wendy. Please take it away.
Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. You know, I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, and I want to do a little free advertisement for an item that I bought that I think is just awesome for your pet. So Robert and I decided that we were going to drive to New York. I think it's around 1,900 miles. So we were going to drive for a long time. I think the whole trip took us about 20 hours, but we were traveling with our little dog, Wanda, and everybody has heard about Wanda. She is a little black Shih Tzu. She's a rescue. We rescued her about 7 years ago, and she's our heart. Like, we both love this little dog so much. And the thought of bringing her on the road with us was so exciting, but also really worrisome because we were going to stop at a lot of places, rest stops. We were going to stay in a hotel overnight one night. We were going to walk her on streets and places that she's not familiar with. And the thought of me and Robert losing her was just something I could not even imagine. Many years ago, Robert and I lost our dog, Mickey. Robert and I were out of town, and we had a pet sitter staying at our house, and Mickey got out, and I think there was a storm. We don't know the whole story. We never really found out the truth, but somehow Mickey got out, and he was gone. That was really, I'd have to say, maybe one of the top three most horrible times in my life was losing Mickey and not knowing where he was. And back then, we didn't really have the tools that we do today. So Robert got on his computer right away, made up little posters and pictures of Mickey, and Robert and I went around our neighborhood and put these posters out on every lamppost that we could find in the neighborhood. And sure enough, I think it was, I don't know how many hours later, 30 hours, I'm just going to guess from my memory, we got a call from a little boy who said, "I think I have your dog in our backyard." And you know, we went and we got Mickey. Now, today, there's so many more options, right? There's microchips, there's tracking devices. Just having a collar with your dog's name on it is really important. And I'm telling you, we have all three. So Wanda is microchipped. So anybody out there who's moved, change their phone number, just update that information, because that information is really important to be updated at all times. And I think having your dog microchipped is a great tool, but it's not the only tool out there. And I think it needs to really be combined with other things. Your dog would have to be found, would have to be picked up, and have to be brought to the vet to be scanned to find that information. And while it's really good, other items as well works great. So Wanda also has a little tag around her neck, shaped as a bone, has her name on it, and Robert and I, our phone numbers. So that's great. But these tags, they fall off if your dog is running through bushes, running through a fence. It could get snagged and taken off the collar. So what I purchased before we left from leaving St. Paul, Minnesota to coming from Long Island, New York, was a Roam tag. Roam, R-O-A-M tag. It is an Apple product, and this is a tracking device, and you put it on your phone, and you could track the animal on your phone. So the one we got attaches to her collar. So the collar kind of goes in and out, and it's on the collar. And then I have all the information in my phone, and no matter where I am, I can go on my phone and just go to the app, Find My. So, you know, find your whatever. And we have Wanda set up with all of our information. And somebody could just... It's a QR code. That's exactly what it is, a barcode. So whoever has a phone can just click on, scan the code, and it will give you her name, our phone numbers, where you could contact us. So I think that's a really good tool to have. And then I could go on and see where she is. Like, oh, okay. And find the address where she is. I could find her exact location, and it will show me as she is walking wherever she's going. So I think this is a really good tool. So between these three things that she has, the Roam tag, which is great. It's like less than $50. You just upload it on your phone. It's simple. It's really easy to use. And you could see where your animal is anytime. And then we have the little, name tag. Name tag, microchipped in this. Three things that she has on her because we did not want to lose her. So Wanda is safe and sound. She made it through the trip without getting lost, which we're really happy about. She really was good on the trip, too. She's a really good traveler. She stayed in the crate in the back. I have it set up so it's high enough so she gets to look outside. I have it all bungee corded up so it's really stable and secure. So if God forbid, we got into an accident, the crate is sturdy. It's not going to fly around the car. So she's safe in there. There's lots of blankets and stuff in there. So I think she is acclimating to New York. She is barking a lot at people who come in and out of the condo building because she's used to having, living in a house. So it's nice and quiet. And the good thing is when we're home in Minnesota in St. Paul, we have a nice little backyard. It's a small yard, but it's great for her. It's all fenced in, and we could just let her out, right? If it's snowing, raining, whatever, we just let her out. She goes potty, comes right back in the house, especially in these cold temperatures. But now in New York, we don't have a little backyard that's fenced in. So rain, sleet, snow, darkness, whatever, we have to get that leash on her and go for a walk. The good thing is, hey, it gets me out of the house, right? It gets me walking. And there's been some cold, rainy days here where I would have just stayed in the condo and not have gone out at all. But this gets me to go out. So with that, keep your pet safe out there and take it easy. Back to you, Robert and Haley.
Hey, Wendy, thanks again, and stay warm out there in New York. If you have been listening to Native Roots Radio, you are part of our resistance. We'll be back tomorrow with Little Moments Count and Bob Blake from Red Lake. Let's walk well, take care of the earth, and free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Yeah. Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Hey, is this line secure?
Franco Cybersecurity Firm secured a contract, and that's all we're allowed to say.
We have a green light on hiring.
He needs web security professionals with a military background.
Three teams of four, 24-hour rotations, but Protocol Zulu is on a need-to-know basis.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard, so you can stay organized and connected all the way to the hire. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour.